Okay, can you hear me?
I can, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, this is Keith Bearden, president of Phi Beta Mu International, and we're on the telephone line to Professor Anthony Maiello, who is our 2015 Outstanding Bandmaster, who was honored at Midwest this past December. Mr. Maiello, if I could ask you a few questions, we'd like to put your interview on our website.
I would be honored to answer any questions, and I'd like to, first of all, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I greatly appreciate it, and I'm thrilled to be a member of the organization and happy to contribute any way I can.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. Well, these are tidbits of information that young directors and current directors can certainly apply to their everyday lives. So let's start with, how did you get started in band? Maybe your beginning director, your high school director, other influential directors in your life, and what caused you to want to be in the band?
Well, actually, I played the accordion in high school, and it was my high school theory teacher that urged me to get to school, to go on to college. And actually, I had a little dance band in high school, and so that we played weddings and dances, school dances and things like that. And I had graduated from high school, and he called me into his office in July and sat me down and had a conversation, asked me what I was going to do with my life. And I told him that I have some accordion students and I had a little dance band. And he said, "That's about it, huh?" And I said, "Well, I guess so." My dad passed away when I was a young boy in junior high school, and my mom was a waitress, and so they supported my music lessons on the accordion, but that was about it. So Dr. Campbell, who went to Ithaca College, called Ithaca College and spoke with the dean there, and this was in July, and made an appointment for me to go down and see the dean. So I went down to the Ithaca College and had an appointment with the dean, sat down, and we chatted a little bit. And finally the question came up from the dean. He said, "Well, do you like bands or choirs?" And I said, "Well, I like bands." And he said, "Well," he said, "Dr. Campbell, your high school theory teacher who went to school here and is well-respected, said that you have some talent. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to you go home and you buy a clarinet, you try to take some lessons, and you come down next month and go to school for 1 year, and we'll give you 1 year here, and if you do well, we'll let you stay, and if not, then out you go." So I went home and I bought a clarinet, a Bundy plastic clarinet for $20. I took about 5 lessons on the clarinet, and I went to school as a clarinet major, if you can believe that.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, I got to Ithaca College, and Walter Beeler, I didn't even know Walter Beeler's name or anything like that.
Absolutely.
Walter Beeler was the director of bands and the associate dean, and was also the director of the concert band, which was the top group. And, of course, we had everybody audition for Walter Beeler, and I walked in, and I couldn't even play the break, and so needless to say, I couldn't play my, he asked me to play an A-flat scale, I couldn't play it, he asked me to play an F-sharp scale, I couldn't play it, he asked me to play a C scale, and I couldn't play it because I couldn't play over the break. So needless to say, and then he asked me for my solo, and I nodded and said, "I'm sorry, Mr. Beeler, I don't have a solo." So he looked at me and he said, "Let me see a sight read," and of course, I... it was a transcription to The Marriage of Figaro, the principal clarinet part, and I just thought, I looked at it, and all I did was try to hold the tears back because I was so upset with myself, I couldn't do anything. And so he looked at me and he said, "What can you do?" And I said, "Well, Mr. Miller, I know my theory real well." And he said, "Put your horn in the case and leave." So I went back to my room, called my mother, and said, "Mom, I can't do this. She said to me, "Your dad would be so very disappointed in you if he were alive today." And I thought, oh, good gracious. So at any rate, to make a long story short, I practiced very hard my freshman year. There were 3 bands in the college, and I, after the auditions with Mr. Beeler, I was the last cheer, 3rd clarinet in the lowest band. In other words, you couldn't get any lower And I just practiced. I had a wonderful teacher, Dr. Elsa Ludwig, was teaching clarinet there at the time, and she took me in the palm of her hands. And she gave me 2-3 lessons a week, an hour lesson, 2 lessons on the weekend, and I practiced 5-6 hours a day. I didn't go on a date till the end of my junior year, and then the gal that I actually went on a date with is my wife today. So I just practiced real hard. It took me 2 years to make Walter's band. I made Walter Bieler's band, Mr. Bieler's band, my junior year. And by the time I graduated, I was principal chair, second clarinet in his band. And I was nominated the outstanding senior in the school of music. So I'm just working hard. And while I'm on that, you know, I have four my own rules, and this will probably answer one of the questions later on. But I tell all my students, number one, work hard, study hard. Number two, make smart decisions in your personal life and your professional life. Number three, be around good people who are also good musicians, because you'll learn. And number four, help other people, because when you help other people, you feel good about yourself.
Yes, very good advice. And
so that's a long story, and I apologize for going on so long.
No, that's excellent. When did you decide to go into teaching after you left college, and what year was that, and what was that like?
Well, I was in music education. I was not a performance major, but in music education. And after 4 years of college, I went out and got a teaching position. For elementary band, I taught in 5 elementary schools, 1 junior high school, and only one day, half of a day in the high school. That was in Burn Hills, New York. After 1 year, I decided to go back to school. It was during the Vietnam War. I actually wanted to go to the University of Michigan, but I hadn't heard from them. Ithaca College, I talked to the dean at Ithaca College, and he offered me a full ride, a fellowship, to come back to school and do my master's degree at Ithaca. So I took that and went back full-time. I left the job, resigned from my position, went back full-time, and finished and worked on my master's degree, got my master's degree, and then took a high school position in northern New York. I wanted to tell you that I student taught my undergraduate degree. I student taught with Frank Battisti at Ithaca High School. He was at Ithaca High School. Frank Battisti, I had the high school band at Ithaca when I was at Ithaca College. And I was fortunate enough to teach with him. So during my master's degree, I taught down there part-time with Frank. And then I got a high school job up in northern New York for 5 years. So I taught a total of 7 years in the public school before getting the job. The band position at the Crane School of Music at State University of Potsdam in Potsdam, New York.
Mm-hmm. So what were your classes like? What did you teach at during those 7 years? All levels?
All levels. Grades 5 through 12.
Can you recall anything interesting that your audience would like to know? Like, was it big? What year did you begin beginners, for example?
We started our beginners in fifth grade.
Fifth grade, and then
beginners in fifth grade, and then they received a lesson once a week, which was great, on a rotating basis. In other words, it would be at 8:30 one week, and then at 9 the next week, and 9, so they didn't miss the same class every week, but. We had group lessons, which was great. And at the high school, it was the same thing. It was a rotating schedule, so that students were pulled out of class. I know that today that really doesn't happen. But in those days, you could take the students out of class for instrumental lessons, and we did that.
It's flipped today. They take them out of music classes for everything else.
Well, so isn't that awful?
Yeah, well, it is. Do you recall your starting salary back then?
I absolutely do, sir.
We all do.
In 1965, my first year of teaching that fall, I started at a salary of $4,800 a year.
It's interesting when I'm doing these interviews, everybody's sort of in the same boat. It's interesting. And it's always a fun story to share with your students today.
Oh, God, I know. It's incredible when I think about it, you know, and how little money that was. But back then, things were different, you know. But $4,800 my first year of teaching.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that it's changed so much.
Oh, my gosh.
Speaking of changes, what else have you seen through the years, either positive or negative, and current trends or anything that you want to discuss?
Well, you know, through the years, I still believe that young people are still the same. They have a lot of distractions as opposed to when I taught in the public schools. Women's sports really were only intramurals, but now they're full-fledged sports. And we used to be able to count on the women, the young ladies, if the men went out for football or whatever. And back in those days, you could actually be in band, choir, and orchestra or whatever. Nowadays, students are forced to choose. Back in those days, band met 5 days a week for at least 40, 45 minutes. Nowadays, they're on these schedules that are different, and the band doesn't meet every day, and it meets for a shorter period of time. And so I've seen a decrease in the amount of time that we actually have access to teaching students music.
What about anything else, like the large band versus the wind ensemble, or...
Well, back in those days, Fred Fernell had the wind ensemble. My opinion is I like to have as many instrumental students as possible in the program. So I think the wind ensemble is an interesting concept, but personally, I like a bigger band. That was one of the reasons why I wanted to go to Michigan. I wanted to study under William Ravelli because I had heard about William Ravelli and the University of Michigan band, and it was a big band. And when I listened to the sound of the band, I heard the band for the first time when I was at college. The Michigan band played at Cornell University, and I went to hear the band, and I was absolutely, absolutely mesmerized by the sound of the band and the. It was because the theater band was about 70 piece band. It wasn't a big band. It wasn't a wind ensemble, but it wasn't a big Midwestern band. And I was fascinated by that sound, and I loved the sound of a big band. So at any rate, I'm a big supporter of large bands. I like large bands. I think the balance in the wind ensemble won on the part. Always seems to be somewhat of a challenge. Plus, today, the more people that play music, the better I feel. And at any level, community bands, high school bands, college bands, as long as you make music and play in the band, you'll be okay. I tell my students that all the time. If you're feeling upset or if you're feeling depressed or whatever, get your horn, go down, and just play in the band, and you will feel better.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've enjoyed having you down to Texas for several times to conduct our all-state bands, and it's always wonderful to watch you work with the kids and the interaction that both.
It's a thrill to come to Texas. I'm always humbled by the invitation. I'll be there this summer. I'm doing a clinic for the orchestra directors, and then at the next TMEA, not this coming year because I'm already booked, but the following year I'll be at TMEA to do some clinics for the band directors too. So I love coming to Texas. Texas is just a wonderful place, and it's the TMEA organization is just such an efficient organization in every way.
Well, it's exciting that we can bring conductors of your caliber in to work with the students. It's an exciting deal. I've had students go through your bands and what great memories they have.
Well, and the same holds true on this end. It works both ways.
What personal highlights in your career could you give us?
Well,
share with us.
I was very fortunate being director of bands here at George Mason University and working under Arnold Gabriel. When Colonel Arnold Gabriel retired from the United States Air Force Band, he was hired at George Mason University as a director of the Department of Music. And I had always wanted to play in the Air Force Band, but it was during the Vietnam War, and it didn't work out. And so the opportunity came for when he moved to Mason from the Air Force Band, he conducted the orchestra, and he advertised for a director of band's position. And I applied. I was a full professor at the Crane School at that time, and I applied for the job, and there were over 200 applicants, and I was the final choice. I was his final choice and the faculty's final choice. So coming to George Mason University and working side by side with Arnold Gabriel, without a doubt, was the highlight of my entire professional life.
Yes, what a wonderful musician and what a wonderful man and what a career he
had. Well, I'll tell you a very quick story, if I may. When we moved to Northern Virginia, we had a house built, a new home built. They were building homes. It was a real rapid growth period, and so our house was supposed to be ready. I had a wife and two daughters, younger daughters, one in high school, one in middle school, and we moved thinking we were going to move into our house, and we moved down here in August, and the house was only half built, and so we had no place to live. And Gabe said to me, "Give me one day." And so we lived in college housing because the students weren't back yet, so we lived in a dormitory. And called me within 24 hours, and he said, "You've got a place." So first of all, the first thing he said to me was, "You come and live with me and my wife." And I said, "Gabe, I you are so kind. I've got a wife and two teenage daughters. I can't do that to you and your wife. I mean, believe me, and I love my family and they're wonderful people, but they're teenage daughters." And so, and he said, "Give me 24 hours." Within 24 hours, he called me back. And he said, "I've got a place for you to live." And he owned a townhouse that he rented out. He asked the person in the townhouse if she would move out so that we could move in, and she said yes.
Wow.
And so, do you believe that?
That's nice of that lady.
yeah. And Gabe's like a father to me. I would do anything in the world for him. He's the best. I just finished reading his book, by the way. It's called The Force of Destiny. And it's The Life of Arnold Gabriel. It's a wonderful book. It was written by his son. I recommend every band director to read it.
I will certainly do that.
Okay.
What is his son's name?
His son's name is Michael.
Okay.
Michael Gabriel. Yeah, Michael Gabriel is the author, and it's called The Force of Destiny.
Thank you for that.
So yes.
If you looked over your career, would you have done anything differently if you could go back or anything?
You know, sir, I have been so, so blessed. I'm going to be 73 years old, and I'm still teaching full-time at the university, and I love going to school every day. I love sharing music with the students. The good Lord has given me good health, and so, as long as I'm not in the way, I will continue to teach because it's just such a joy to share music. Music is so magical. It's so powerful. I mean, you and I both know it changes our lives forever. And we'll never be alone because we have the music in our lives. And to share that with other people is an absolute joy. I wouldn't change one thing. If the good Lord tapped me on the shoulder and said to me, "Okay, Milo, your time is up," it would be okay. I would miss my family members and my loved ones and my colleagues, but you know what? I have had a wonderful, wonderful life with music and sharing it with others.
Well, you have a lot more to go.
Well, I hope so.
And you've had so many wonderful musical experiences. Do you have a favorite composition? Anything stick out to you that you really enjoy doing over and over?
You know, my daughter and I had this conversation this morning, my younger daughter. I was driving her to an appointment, and she said, Dad, do you have a favorite composer or a favorite piece? And I said, you know, Nancy, I've been asked that question so many times, and the answer is, I love it all. I mean, if it's good music, I love it. And if it's performed well, I love it. You know, Duke Ellington said there are only two kinds of music, good music and the other kind.
And many have answered that question the exact same way, you know.
Yeah, I just, you know, yeah. I can't pick out a favorite piece because I love so many of them, and I can't pick out a favorite composer because I love so many of them for various reasons, you know. It's like picking your favorite child, you know. You can't
sure.
pick a favorite child, you know.
I asked that question to Gene Corporon. He said, the piece that I'm working on currently.
Oh, really? Well, that's interesting.
A good, interesting answer. Yeah. So, you had mentioned some of the old masters back during your days of teaching. Of course, Walter Beeler and Ravelli and Colonel Gabriel. Were there others who influenced you or that you really looked up to?
Yeah, there were. And once again, I feel so blessed to have been able to spend time with John Painter, with Don McGinnis from Ohio State. As I said, Arnold Gabriel, Walter Beeler was my teacher. William Ravelli, to judge festival with William Ravelli side by side as a colleague. I thought I died and went to heaven. Ken Bloomquist, also another wonderful, wonderful colleague. Alfred Reed, another wonderful colleague. I've just, you know, I've been very fortunate. I've met Frederick Fennell. We worked conducting workshops together. I'm just so blessed to be able to be around good people. That's one of the reasons why I say to my students, Maiello's four rules. The third one is be around good people who are also good musicians because you'll learn more about music.
Correct. Well, those
so,
are... It's a pretty nice list of people to be.
And also to student teach under Frank Battisti when he was at Ithaca High School. Oh, my God. I walked into my first day at student teaching at Ithaca High School, and Mr. Battisti, my name is Anthony Maiello, and and he said, nice to meet you. He said, take the clarinet sectional. Here's the score. They're in the other room. The score, are you ready? The score was the Hindemith Symphony.
Oh, jump right in.
Oh my God. I walked out of his room and walked into the hallway before entering the other room where the sectional was taking place. My heart was pounding, thinking, oh my God, am I going to survive this or what?
So looking back, what helped you the most in those very early years when you were just learning the clarinet, and what helped you throughout your career? And you mentioned those four basic principles, but was there anything else?
Well, you know, I'm very blessed to have a strong faith. And there were so many times that I was frustrated and wanted to give up. I mean, being the last chair clarinet in the school, in the lowest band, I mean, as a freshman, and hearing all of these people, these students ahead of me play so well, and having to work so hard, you know, I just prayed to God every night to give me the strength to help me as much as possible. I think having a strong faith is number one. And number two, having good people. I mean, everybody wanted to help me. As I said, Ms. Ludwig gave me, Dr. Ludwig gave me two to three lessons a week. Charlie Bay was my clarinet teacher after she moved on, and Donald Cinta. I studied saxophone with Donald Cinta. He was a phenomenal influence on my musical education. you know, the striving for excellence and just the setting the example and setting the bar. I've just been so fortunate to be around good people who are good musicians.
So aside from your faith and those four rules that you talked about, is there anything else you'd like to tell young directors who are just beginning their career or music majors just beginning their musical education career at college?
Yes, yes. Never give up on a student. Never give up on a student, because you never know when that student's going to blossom, and you never know what that student's going to do.
You never know what turns them on.
Yep, that's right.
From last year, third clarinet, to where you are now, it's a pretty incredible story.
Well, I seem, as I said before, I really feel so very blessed in so many ways. My dream was to teach at the university level, and that's come true. Another dream was to play for Arnold Gabriel in the Air Force Band. That didn't come true, but I was able to work next to him as a colleague. I want to tell you a quick story about Arnold Gabriel, if I may, sir, because this will be fun. On my first day on the job, or my first week on the job, when I moved to George Mason University, Arnold Gabriel was the director of the music department at School of Music, and so I figured, well, you know, I'd better walk into his office and ask him just, you know, what he wants me to do and what he expects, you know, because I want to make sure that I do that. So I walked into his office and I said, I made an appointment. Gabe, do you have just a moment? He said, sure, come in. And so he sat down and I said, I'm here to ask you just one thing. And he said, what's that? I said, is there anything specific that you want me to do here as the director of bands? He looked me in the eye and he said, if I have to tell you, I've hired the wrong man. Isn't that great?
It sounds like him.
Yep, and you know, and he. I mean, you know, you would think that he would be peeking over my shoulder or looking over my shoulder. You know what? Never once did he question any decision I made. As a matter of fact, he allocated more money for the band budget than he did for his own orchestra budget, because he knew I had to recruit students, and the band program was struggling at that time, and that's one of the reasons why he wanted the band director, wanted to create a director of bands position. And never once did he ever second guess me or anything. Always there to support anything and everything that I did, you know. So I'm just so grateful, and I'm so blessed. And what I want to do is I want to give back any way I can. And so that's basically my approach. I just want to give back for all the wonderful things that I've experienced and that I've learned in my life. And I'm not done learning by a long shot. You know, Bill Ravelli said to me one time, I said, Bill, can you give me any advice? And one of the things that he said to me was, he said, you never want to stop learning. You know, you can live for 10 lifetimes and you'll never begin to scratch the surface about learning music. And I thought, wow. And he's so right.
Excellent. Well, that's a pretty good ending statement, but would you like to close? Anything you would like to say in the interview?
Well, first of all, thank you again for the opportunity, Keith. I can't tell you how thrilled I am to be able to talk to you and to be in the organization and to just be a teacher of music and a person who shares music and the love of music with other people. You know, none of us do this music thing for money. I mean, that's for darn sure. We're blessed to be able to get paid for it. I mean, I sometimes pinch myself to think that I actually get paid for doing what I do, because I would do it for free. I don't know how I'd feed my family, but I would do it for free because I love it so much.
Yes. Well, thank you very much. Thank you so much for spending time with us. And as I say, we were very honored to honor you as our outstanding bandmaster for 2015. And we look forward to seeing you back at Midwest in December.
Absolutely. And thank you once again for such an honor. I am deeply humbled by it, and I mean that sincerely. I am extremely humbled by it. I'm just delighted to be a part of this profession. There's nothing in the world that I want to do more than that. I'll end on a happy note. I always say to there's only one other thing that I did sort of want to think about doing for a while, and that was I really wanted to be a fighter pilot, an airplane fighter pilot. I really wanted to fly. And my wife always says to me, you know what, before you learn how to fly, you need to learn how to drive.
Good advice.
Oh, so at any rate, but I thought I'd leave on a happy note.
Oh, that's funny. Well, thank you so much, and I've enjoyed spending some of your afternoon with you, and hope you have a wonderful summer and ready for the fall. Get ready.
Thank you, sir. And the same to you, and God bless you and for everything that you do and continue to do for our profession and for the sake of music and sharing music with everybody else. It's been my pleasure.
Thank you so much. Goodbye.
All right. Bye-bye.